everybody. Welcome to another episode of Supernatural George. I'm Mittens, and today we're going to be discussing Season 5, Episode 20, The Devil You Know, written by Ben Edlund and directed by Robert Singer. The devil we know is obviously Crowley, King of the Crossroads, apparently now on the run from Hell and Lucifer's minions. Despite the fallout from their previous interactions in 510, Abandon All Hope, Crowley is throwing his lot in with the Winchesters again. Not like he has much choice. I mean, in his mind, the Winchesters are the devil he knows. We start out trying to stop the demons and pestilence from unleashing the Croatoan virus on the world, and there's an awful lot of backstabbing and revelations as we move the big apocalypse plot forward. Plus, Sam learns some truly horrible things about how manipulated his life has been by the grand plan of the apocalypse. I don't really think there's that much more to set up for this episode. We have some bonus material, including the filming locations map, an old interview with Mark Shepard about this episode, a casting notice of Matt Frewer playing Pestilence, which probably should have been included last week when we saw the bumper of Pestilence at the end of that episode, and three promo clips on video. And that's about it. My tag for this episode is quite light. I've written some very basic notes on it, but there's not a lot of like hidden metaphor and meaning to tear apart in this because we have three episodes left to go till the finale and, you know, 2021 and 22, and that's it. So we are moving the apocalypse along apace, and it doesn't stop to really take a breather, which is fine. It's just there's no deep plot stuff because it's all just right there in plain sight for all of us to see. So with that, let's get into the then segment. With minor apologies if I'm slightly incoherent, but my immune system sucks and I am not still sick. I am sick in a different way entirely now because my immune system does not know how to stop. Anyway. Moving right along, then segment. We begin by digging deep, way back to the pilot episode, with Sam telling Jess, "What would I do without you?" and then seeing her burn on the ceiling. We then get flashbacks to both Croatoan, where they first learn about the Croatoan virus, and 5-4 the end, where Dean has to confront it having destroyed the world. We're then reminded of Crowley, who we just met in 510, Abandon All Hope, who gave them the cult after killing two of his own minions to prove a point to Sam and Dean. He wants to survive. He does not want the apocalypse either, because he knows Lucifer doesn't have any more love for the demons than he has for humans, and as soon as the humans are gone, Lucifer's going to come after the demons. We get a shot of Lucifer rising in that chapel with the light coming out of the floor, and Gabriel voiceover from last week telling them that they can shove Lucifer back into that cage using the four horsemen's rings as keys. Dean mentions that they already have war and famine's rings. All they need is pestilence and death. And Sam's like, "Oh, is that all?" And we get a shot of pestilence from the end of last week's episode, sneezing his goo everywhere. And then we come to now. We start off with two scientists at Niveus Pharmaceuticals who are apparently making a vaccine against the swine flu that's supposed to be faster acting. And they're concerned about the safety of their vaccine trials. They're observing the effects of the trials in monkeys that they have lined up in cages. As a janitor mops the floor behind them, they don't pay any attention to this janitor, but they probably should have. They're concerned about the speed at which it's going to human trials, and after living in a pandemic for 3 years, I kind of, yeah. Anyway. One doctor says to the other, "Have you even seen the new vaccine?" Neither of them have. They didn't know it had even been formulated. And the janitor turns to them and is like, "Well, I have seen it." And they're like, "Well, who are you?" And he's like, "Well, I'm running the experiment," and stabs one of the doctors in the neck with the supposed vaccine, but we all know is going to be Croatoan virus. The janitor then knocks the other doctor away, exits the room, locks the door, and smashes the automated keypad lock, and just watches through the window as the doctor he infected with Croatoan turns and kills the other doctor, apparently tearing it apart, while all the monkeys just scream. And the janitor flashes his demon black eyes and is like, yep, guess it's working exactly right. And then we cut to the title card. And the blood explosion splatter of the title card, it just takes on so many different meanings, doesn't it? After the title card, we find ourselves in a hospital, in a ward where everybody seems to be sick with some terrible flu, including the clerk from the end of the last episode that Pestilence sneezed on personally. Sam and Dean are playing CDC agents there to investigate why everybody's sick, and the doctor, as they're all wearing face masks, the surgical mask kind that we all know are not as good as N95s at stopping infection. And the doctor is like, what we really need is vaccine. Sam and Dean are suspicious that the demons are using this flu to cover up a Croatoan outbreak. They question the doctor, asking if she has seen any signs of aggression or homicidal tendencies in people who've been infected. And the doctor's like, no, are you okay? These are not normal questions. The doctor says the only unusual thing is they only had like one case a week ago and now they've got 70. So it's a pretty infectious flu, even if it's relatively mild. Dean says something to Sam about like, oh, that's right when the statue started crying. And the doctor's like, excuse me? Because they're seeing it as demon signs or signs of supernatural interference. And the doctor's like, seriously, are you okay? They are all convinced that this is where Pestilence has touched down because it's where the big outbreak of disease is happening. As they're driving away from the hospital that night through the rain, they're on the phone with Bobby, and none of them can understand why Pestilence is serving up something so minor when he could be dishing out Croatoan or far worse things than a mild flu. But this is apparently the fourth town that's been hit with this swine flu. All Bobby can tell from the pattern of towns he's hit is that they are moving east, and they're in western Nevada. And so east is pretty much all there is. And that's a lot of ground to try and cover. When they hang up with Bobby, Crowley appears in the back seat. Dean screeches to a halt. Sam draws the demon knife, and they are both ready to take revenge on him. Sam turns around and just stabs the back seat because Crowley's already materialized outside the car because he's smart and knows that they were going to try and stab him. Crowley is like, we should talk. We have very important things to discuss. Sam gets out and storms at Crowley, still got the demon knife, wants to kill Crowley. And he's like, you want to talk to us? After what you did, you gave us the Colt and pointed us at Lucifer, knowing it wouldn't kill him. And our friends who came with us on that hunt died for that because you lied about the Colt being effective against Lucifer. Crowley's like, I thought it was going to work. I would not have sent you in there if I had not thought that that would kill Lucifer. Sam is just the incarnation of anger against Crowley, and he wants him dead. And Crowley's like, we're still in this together. We are still working toward the same goal. And Sam's like, yeah, no, we're not. And he swings the knife at Crowley again, and Crowley just materializes behind Sam. And finally, Dean has to hold Sam back and asks Crowley, okay, give us one good reason why we should even trust you. Crowley tells Dean, I can give you Pestilence. I know how to get him. And considering they're spinning their wheels completely trying to catch up with Pestilence, this is a tempting offer. Sam gives Dean a look like, you can't even be considering working with this guy. What is wrong with you? Let's just kill him. But Dean's like, no, let's hear him out. Crowley tells them, I still want the devil dead, but the problem is now the devil knows that I want him dead, and they've been retaliating against me. They burnt down his house. They ate his tailor. He's been on the run ever since they failed to kill the devil with his help. Dean's like, we don't care. Oh my God. And Crowley is like, the last place that I should be is standing on a road under a spotlight talking to Sam and Dean Winchester. Like, you can see that he is very angry about all of this. It's genuine. Crowley is like, so do you want the horseman's rings or not? Yes, I know all about that. They're kind of surprised that anybody else knows about that. How did Crowley know about that? But that's at least a little bit of credit in his favor that leads them to be willing to work with him at all. I wouldn't go so far as to say they trust him, but they're willing to hear him out and listen to what he has to say. So Crowley brings him back to this horrible, dilapidated, abandoned place that he's been hiding for the last 2 months. Sam and Dean wonder how Crowley knows about the horseman's rings, and Crowley's like, well, I'm the one demon in all of creation that's able to track you and been listening in on you. The night that they broke into his house and he gave them the colt, his valet planted a magical coin in their car that's been keeping tabs on them. It overrides their hex bags that keep all demons from knowing their location and doings. And basically, he just had a magical wiretap on them this whole time. Crowley's like, okay, so you want to cram the devil back in the cage? I want to help. Dean then is like, okay, well, you said you'd give us pestilence. Make with the details. Crowley's like, oh, I don't know pestilence's exact location, but I know the demon who does, basically the horseman's stable boy who keeps track of them and attends to their needs. He'll know where pestilence is. Crowley tells them that they will bring this demon back to their little clubhouse here, and Crowley will, quote, sell him on giving up the information. Crowley is a closer, and he can close any deal, right? We then cut to the boardroom at Niveus Pharmaceuticals, where the big boss man, that we know is Brady, is getting angry about the lack of results. One of his lackeys says, oh, we're doing the best we can. Brady's like, well, then do the best of someone better. He's obviously not a very nice guy. And when we find out he's a demon, it all makes perfect sense. Later that night, Brady's in his office, working hard, apparently, when a demon escorts, well, we know it's a demon later, the man who Brady had issued the do the best of somebody better line to. And he's all apologetic. And Brady's like, well, I think there's been an opening in communications, and I think you're perfect for it. And the guy's all excited. He thinks he's getting a promotion. Brady's like, oh, you're ready to enter the cutthroat world of upper management? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, sure. And so Brady just slices his throat open and collects his blood in a goblet. The demon comes back in and drags the poor man's body out, leaving a trail of blood on the floor, like nobody else in the building is going to notice this, and flashes his demon eyes at Brady. Yes, he's got a few demon minions in there. Brady says an incantation over the blood bowl, the lights flicker, the Newton's cradle on his desk starts going all by itself, and a fly comes out of the blood bowl. We know who he's talking to, Pestilence. And Brady flashes his demon eyes. Brady then has to answer to his boss. The vaccine trials are going very well. It's incredibly grotesque. And then he's asked about the timeline for the release of the vaccine that we know is Croatoan. And Brady's like, you know, it is taking a little more time because we can't possess everybody. And don't even get me started on the Teamsters. You know, they need to have some humans who are working with them willingly. And Brady resigns himself. He gets scolded, apparently, by Pestilence. And he says the same line back. Yes, yes, I'll do the best of someone better. So he's obviously getting that from his higher-ups and passing it on to his own people. Back at Crowley's dilapidated little house, Sam and Dean are gearing up for their hunt for this demon who knows where Pestilence is, and Sam is still questioning why they're even working with Crowley. He thinks it's insane. Crowley says he's all ready to go, but Sam is not coming. Dean is even like, what? Why not? And Crowley's like, oh, because I don't like you. And you keep trying to kill me. Sam is like, there is no damn way I'm letting Dean go with you alone. And Crowley's like, well, I'm not asking you. I'm asking Dean. And Dean's like, well, we need this. So, you know, I can take care of myself against this guy. Crowley doesn't get an immediate answer and is like, okay, then, gentlemen, enjoy your last few sunsets, meaning the plague is going to take over the world any day now if they don't do something to stop it. And Dean is like, okay, wait, I'll do it. And Crowley stops with his back to them and is just like, yes, I knew you would. Sam is incredulous, and Dean just turns to him and is like, what can I say, Sam? I believe the guy. And Sam is just left there holding his gun with nothing to shoot. Poor dude. So, with his spare time, Sam just sits down with a bottle of whiskey in front of the fireplace and calls Bobby to just lay out exactly what happened. And we cut to Bobby, who's sitting in front of his own fireplace, drinking whiskey. At least he's drinking it out of a glass instead of straight from the bottle like Sam is. Bobby's like, I don't trust demons, but after a year of dealing with all this crap, maybe it's time we do something a little crazy. Because otherwise they're just spinning their wheels. But that's what gives Sam the impetus to work up the nerve to present his own crazy idea to Bobby. Once they get all the horsemen rings, they'll be able to open the cage, but they have no idea how they're going to shove Lucifer in. What if Sam said yes and dragged Lucifer in? Sam approaches the subject by asking Bobby about the time that he overrode a demon possessing him so that he wouldn't kill Dean. And Sam's asking how he took back control. And Bobby puts all the pieces together and figures out what Sam is intending to do or thinking about doing. And he's like, there is no way you have the self-control to be able to overpower the devil himself. You know, I overpowered a pissant demon just long enough to shank myself. You can't seriously think you can overpower Lucifer. Bobby is furious with him. He's like, we just finished talking Dean down off the ledge and now you're thinking about saying yes? This is a terrible idea. Bobby's final word on the subject is, how do you think you're going to control the devil when you can't even control yourself? You're not exactly the picture of anger management. And we've already seen him lash out at Crowley multiple times in this episode. So we're reminded that Sam has anger impulse issues. And he looks pretty hurt by that. But his gears are still grinding on it, obviously, because that's what ends up happening. Back at Nivius Pharmaceuticals, Dean and Crowley are sitting in the car, and Dean is looking through binoculars into the building. He sees some people milling about, and he's like, demons? And Crowley's like, no, human shields. Dean's like, okay, then we'll find a way in through the back. We'll sneak into the building. And Crowley's like, you Winchesters just make everything so complicated. And he disappears from the car and materializes behind the front desk guard and slices the man's throat. And Dean is like, oh, fuck, what am I doing? He's killing people at random. God damn. And he hurries into the building to stop Crowley from killing innocent people. He's like, you killed them? And Crowley's like, yeah, well, we're on a tight schedule. Come on. And drags Dean to the elevator, pushes the button for the 12th floor, and then is like, okay, go do what I told you. Dean holds the door open. He's like, what, you're not coming? And Crowley's like, oh, no, it's not safe up there. There's demons. And Dean's like, so it's safe for me, though? He's incredulous that Crowley is just hanging him out to dry, apparently. And Crowley's like, no, just say what I told you to, and everything will work out. At least Dean has the demon knife on him. We flash up to Brady's office, and he hears through the door. Dean has killed a demon out in the hallway. And Brady magically opens the doors from across the room, and he's like, ah, Dean Winchester, no appointment. Brady invites Dean to sit down and tries to make small talk, like, how's your brother? And Dean is having none of that. Dean starts laying out the spiel that Crowley told him to. You know, me and Sam dropped two of your jockeys. We have their rings. We'll trade them back to you. Dean says that he heard the demons want those two rings back, and he's willing to trade if the demons are willing to pay for them, if Brady will come with them, all nice and civil. Brady is just like, who says I want the rings? And Dean's like, folks. Brady tells Dean that even if he could cram the rings back on their bony fingers, war and famine are withered husks. It wouldn't do any good to give them their rings back. They were given power by the start of the apocalypse spell, and that magic is gone now. At least that's how I've always interpreted it. People are always like, oh, well, why can't those things come back that happened during the apocalypse? Well, I think it's all one big spell. That confluence of events can never happen again that brought all this magic to be, including raising the horsemen. And Dean is sitting there, stunned and horrified, as Brady tells him he doesn't want the rings. He wants retribution, and he's going to rip it out of Dean's ass, which is very colorful. And Dean is not at all comforted by this fact. Brady throws Dean out into the hallway. Dean's all bloody from his temple, and Brady's just kicking him over and over again and thoroughly enjoying the experience. Dean manages to escape and scramble into the elevator, and the ride down is fraught, and he slowly exits the elevator back in the lobby, looking around cautiously, when Brady appears in the elevator behind Dean and knocks him down again. As Dean struggles to get back to his feet, Crowley appears behind Brady, shoves a bag with a devil's trap thing over his head, and repeatedly whacks him with a crowbar. At least it's enough to get Brady to shut up. Dean tells Crowley, you know, did you see what all happened here? And Crowley's like, yes, it was perfect. Dean's like, perfect? He didn't want the rings. He wanted me. And Crowley's like, yes, and you should have seen the look on your face. It was such a genuine reaction. You never could have acted that part. Crowley's like, it went like clockwork. Dean's like, well, not for me, you son of a bitch. And Crowley's like, that's what you get for working with a demon. With some patented Robert Singer dramatic zooms in on their faces as they talk. And it's like, okay, just from that one shot, I get that Robert Singer directed this episode. Crowley is in the back seat with Brady as Dean's speeding back to their little shack. Crowley's carving a sigil into Brady's chest that will prevent him from smoking out or using his powers. And that's when Crowley gives Dean directions. We're taking 93 north, not 50. You need to keep going. Dean's like, no, what? We need to go back to Sam. Crowley's like, no, we can't take this guy back to your brother. They have history. And Dean once again slams on the brakes, and he's like, okay, no more demon tricks. You tell me the honest truth. Back at the shack, Sam hears Dean pull up outside. He's had probably too much time to drink and think about what he intends to do. And he's worked up and probably partially righteously angry, partially just pissed off in general. Sam comes down and finds Crowley standing there. He's like, where's Dean? Crowley nods to the next room and tells him, I am against this, for the record. And he explains very carefully to Sam, and Sam tries to barge past him, and Crowley stops him. Crowley tells Sam that Dean overrode him, that he wanted to be miles and miles away from them. He's pretty sure that Sam is going to ruin their last best hope of finding Pestilence because he cannot control his anger, which is what Bobby already told him once in this episode. So this is already forefront of Sam's mind. Sam, with no further information on what he's going to find in there, only knows that Crowley is resigned to this and thinks that Sam is going to ruin it somehow. Sam finally walks into the next room over Crowley's voiced protest and finds Dean tying a bloodied demon in a chair in a devil's trap. Dean tells Sam, look, I need you to stay on mission. Dean lets Sam know that he brought this demon back there because he trusts Sam. Sam's like, trust me to what? And the demon begins to rouse underneath the hood. And he's like, Sam? Sam, is that you? And Dean pulls off the hood and Sam sees who it is. Brady, his college friend. The demon replies, oh, Brady hasn't been Brady in years, since the middle of our sophomore year. Apparently Brady had had a decompensation and went off the rails and Sam helped guide him back around, like supported him like a friend. And all that while, he'd been possessed by this demon. Brady's like, you had a devil on your shoulder even back then. And Sam is crushed. I mean, he thought, if I could only get back to Stanford, I can, you know, it was Dean coming to get me at Stanford that caused all these problems. No, nope. Brady already had the mission of getting you back into hunting. He was already there trying to coax you out of everything. Brady was even the person who'd introduced Sam to Jess. And then he was the demon who actually did the dirty work of murdering Jess to push Sam out the door back into hunting where he could hone his skills. And all of this goes through Sam's mind. Dean has to physically restrain Sam from trying to punch Brady in the face. And, you know, it's like Crowley was right. We should not have come back here because Sam has zero control over his own anger. Dean drags Sam out into the other room and Sam tries to plow right back through Dean and Dean shoves him in again and Sam's like, get out of my way. And Dean's like, no. Crowley sarcastically tells Sam, oh, it sounds like you got him nice and fluffed. Thanks so much. Like, Sam did more harm in that 1 minute conversation he had with the demon and he didn't even have to lay a hand on him to ruin Crowley's first approach. Dean tries to calmly tell Sam that he doesn't like this any more than Sam does, but they need Brady to get to Pestilence, and they need to get Pestilence to stop Lucifer. And Sam's like, why? Because Crowley said so? Like you're trusting a demon like I trusted Ruby and like I trusted Brady back at school? Crowley sits down across from Brady and lays it out flat on the line. If Lucifer wins, he's gonna mop the floor, including all of us. He doesn't care about us demons. And Brady's like, swallowed the demon Kool-Aid. And he's like, he created us. Why would he destroy us? With complete confidence, Brady's like, maybe you should be less worried about our necks and more worried about yours. Brady is very confident when he tells Crowley that Lucifer is never going to let you die. He's going to torture you forever for this. And Brady's like, I know I'm going to die whether I tell you anything or not. Sam's not going to let me walk out of here. Crowley goes out and talks to Dean. He's like, where's your moose? And Dean's like, cooling off. Crowley's like, okay, well, get bent. You know, this would have worked fine if we had been able to approach him without holding the threat of Sam hating him over his head. And Crowley's like, I have to go stick my neck out, try a desperate swashbuckle that he'd been trying to avoid by being able to just make a deal with Brady, who understands exactly that dealing with Crowley is not going to save his skin. But Crowley did learn one thing from Brady, and he's going to go use that to his best advantage. But just like Dean and Sam are having to trust the devil they know in Crowley, even though his previous plan failed to work, Crowley now says, this whole ring business better work after all this that I'm going through for it. Crowley thought that the cult was going to kill Lucifer, and it didn't, because now he's putting himself on the line even more. Dean goes into the bathroom and splashes some water on his face, and despite the sink looking absolutely decrepit and everything in this house being broken down and busted, it apparently still has water service, which is kind of shocking. And the water is clean, and like Dean's willing to splash it onto his face, even when you look at the sink it's coming out of. I would not be that bold as to put that water on my face. Thanks. But while Dean's looking at himself in the mirror, Sam comes in, slams the door shut, and wedges a chair under the doorknob. and Dean is effectively trapped in the bathroom, and Sam has free rein to do whatever he wants to Brady. Dean is terrified. He's afraid that Sam is going to kill their only hope of getting information about Pestilence. Even Brady is convinced that Sam is going to kill him as soon as he walks in the room, and we see Sam has the demon knife. Dean's making a racket out in the other room, and Sam just quietly approaches Brady. He's had time to let his anger just come to a nice, even simmer. But this is when Sam gets the full story. When Brady came back from Thanksgiving break, and he dropped out of pre-med, and he just went off the rails, that was the new Brady. That was me, not your friend. Brady tells Sam that Yellow Eyes didn't send me back to be your friend. We could tell we were starting to lose you. That Sam was veering from the path that they had set out for him, and it was Brady's job to lure Sam back into the hunting life, whatever it took. So Brady's entire plan was to lure Jess into Sam's orbit and introduce them, and then he killed her, all to get Sam back on the path that they wanted him on. And it really makes you wonder, even having been raised hunting, Sam never did anything to protect himself from the supernatural while he was at Stanford. Granted, John kept most things demon-related from them to protect them. And apparently demons weren't nearly as big a problem in the world in general before, like, the end of season one. And they weren't really on Sam and Dean's radar most of their lives. But they had to have some basic knowledge and habitual use of protective spells or sigils or, hell, even some salt lying around the place. Like, never thought to put salt underneath the front rug into your house or on the windowsills or anything, but no, apparently not. Even without demons really being on his radar, Sam still did nothing to protect himself from anything supernatural. Like, he just assumed everything at Stanford was normal and safe. Like, there was some sort of protective shield around it that kept the supernatural out. All those evil things he'd grown up knowing about. And you have to wonder if Brady was halfway expecting Sam to figure out he was possessed. Like, maybe it was even a sort of test that Sam failed, not identifying him. They were friends for like 2 years after Brady was possessed. And Sam was completely oblivious the entire time. And that's not a mistake that I think Sam and Dean would make now, even way back in season 5. Heck, even by the end of season 1, I think Sam would have been, would have spotted Brady a mile away. And that leads me to want to talk about some pretty horrific things that the network had originally wanted Jess to continue on as a character in the show early on. And Kripke's like, oh no, no, she needs to die. She's the impetus to get Sam back into hunting. This was long before they ever had a plan for the apocalypse arc. The network wanted her to remain as a side character, some connection for Sam back to the normal world. And Kripke's like, oh no, 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 no. Then the network suggested maybe Jessica is the demon character that was luring Sam into danger. Like, maybe she becomes possessed and comes back into his life. And Kripke's like, no, 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 I'd rather just kill her. Lovely, isn't it? I mean, there's so many reasons why Kripke just gives me the hives. Anyway, so this is kind of like a nod to those theories or those suggestions from the network that Jess wasn't possessed and wasn't the one to lure Sam into hunting, but was used and murdered by the demons who did. And all this time, Sam blamed himself and maybe low-key even blamed Dean a little bit for bringing him back to hunting, taking him away from where he could have protected Jess from that. And it's like, Sam, you couldn't have protected her from this. If it hadn't been Brady that killed her, it would have been another demon. They had you exactly where they wanted you, and they were going to shove you off the ledge, one way or another. Brady just laughs and says, you know, she was baking cookies. She thought we were friends too. She was so hurt and so surprised when I started in on her. And Sam loses his cool puts the demon knife up to Brady's throat and looks like he's about to kill him right there on the spot. Sam takes one little nick in his throat and it sparks like, you know, the demon knife causes them to spark. And Brady is encouraging him. He's like, do it, Sam. Come on, do it. Because Brady knows he's going to die one way or the other. He's not walking out of here. And he's using Sam's anger deliberately so he doesn't have to give up any information. He's like, get it over with. I'm ready to die. I want to die on the winning side. And Sam pauses. And he is still furious, but he does manage to get control of his anger, which he uses as proof that, oh yes, he's strong enough to withstand Lucifer. Mm-hmm. But it's the impetus that he needed to push him even further into that mindset that I could drag Lucifer into the pit. Brady just laughs at Sam and Sam storms out. Sam finally goes back and lets Dean out of the bathroom. Dean's convinced that Sam's probably already killed Brady. Dean storms in there and is like, well, okay, what happened? And Sam's like, nothing. And Dean finds Brady still alive. Shocker. Just then, Crowley returns, and his suit is kind of tattered and ripped, and he's like, oh god, the day I've had. He walks right past Sam and Dean up to Brady and says, good news, you're going to live forever, because I've been out talking to some other demons and spread the rumor that you and I are working together, lovers in league against Satan. And Brady's like, nobody's going to believe that. And Crowley's like, okay, so now death is off the table for you because you're going to be on Satan's eternal torment list along with me. So you might as well give us the information that we need. Tell me where Pestilence is at. And Brady's about to snark back at him when they hear a dog barking. A hellhound, to be specific. And the look on Dean's face is terrified. He's like, was that a hellhound? Even Brady is like, oh god, Crowley, what have you gotten us into? Dean's like, why was that a hellhound? And Crowley feels his pockets and finds a weird coin. And he's like, oh god, remember I was telling you about my crafty little tracking device? Well, the demons that I went and slaughtered planted one on me. And now their hellhounds are after me. And now Brady is terrified. He's like, get me out of here and I'll tell you anything you want. Dean's like, okay, yeah, we should really get the hell out of here. And Crowley's like, yeah, it's kind of too late for that. Nobody knows more about the hellhounds than I do. And they're already closing in on us. We're screwed. And he flips the coin into Dean's hand and disappears. And they think they've been abandoned. Sam is like, I told you. And Dean is like, oh, well, good for you. I use that gif a lot. Sam's convinced, you know, we should never have trusted Crowley. This is where it's gotten us. And Dean's like, yeah, okay, but we have this immediate problem that we need to take care of and not worry about I told you so's. Dean goes off to the kitchen to get some salt. Dean spots the salt and another patented Robert Singer zoom in on the salt box. He's about to walk toward it when the window crashes in and the invisible hellhound attacks. Dean stumbles backward, shoots the hellhound with a bunch of salt rounds, which sting it, but don't ultimately do anything permanent to it. Sam is attempting to untie Brady, and Brady is like, get me out of here. Dean was unable to get the salt, but he still got a few more shotgun rounds, and he reloads his gun. It's impossible to see the hellhound. We see from its point of view where it is in the room through like blurry doggo vision. And just as Dean's about to fire again at the hellhound, Crowley appears in the other room and is like, hey. Dean's like, why are you back? And Crowley's like, I'm invested currently. The hellhound growls at Crowley and he yells at it to stay. And Dean's like, wait, you can control them? And Crowley's like, not that one, but I brought my own and mine's bigger. And he's just patting the invisible hound at his side. And the hellhounds engage in battle. And Crowley's luckily wins. But while the hellhounds are distracted fighting each other, Sam finally gets Brady untied. They break the devil's trap he's in. And they all make it out to the car. Brady, however, finally does hand over the location of Pestilence. He swears that Pestilence will be there. Crowley confirms the information is good and then walks away, leaving Brady in an alleyway blocked in by Salt. He's like, "You screwed me for an eternity." And Crowley's like, "Yeah, I don't think it's going to last that long." Brady is standing in front of a painted sign on the wall for a barber shop, and it's a man getting a close shave with a straight razor as Sam approaches him with the demon knife, and Brady's taunting him like, "I bet this is a big moment for you, Sam. It's going to make you feel all better." Sam's like, "It's a start." Dean is like, "We're the ones you should be afraid of. Forget all the angels and demons and all that. We're the ones." But as Brady backs away from Sam and Sam slowly approaches him, Brady's like, "You're the one who trusted us, me and Ruby and everyone that you let into your life and chose to trust. You ever wonder why we were always in your blind spot? Why you never picked us out as demons? Maybe it's because we've got the same stuff in our veins. You're just like us." While Dean stands back, Sam defends himself against Brady's first attack. But Brady's not done taunting Sam. "You hate us so much because you hate what you see when you look in the mirror." Sam very calmly stabs Brady to death, just watches him die. And he's like, "Huh, interesting theory." And Dean is kind of looking a little bit horrified at how coldly his brother could just do this and then just walk away. But now that they've got a lead on Pestilence, Bobby is apparently trying to track down Death. They've got nothing like they did to get leads on Pestilence even. Bobby's on the phone with Rufus, warning him to watch his ass out there. As Bobby hangs up his phone, we see Crowley has appeared in Bobby's kitchen. Bobby turns around and pulls a gun on Crowley, and Crowley's like, "That's not going to work on me," and introduces himself. Bobby goes ahead and fires a shot at Crowley anyway, which hurts him, but doesn't do any real harm other than ruining his suit, which Crowley complains about. I mean, this is already the second suit he's lost in this episode, and his tailor's been eaten, so it's not like he can just go get more. Crowley lets Bobby know that the boys are on to ring number 3, but they still need ring number 4, and Crowley knows how to get it, but he needs Bobby's help. Bobby's like, "So you know where Death is?" Crowley's like, "Oh no, I have no idea where he is." Bobby grabs a salt shotgun and points it at him and says, "Then you get the hell off my property." Crowley's like, "Well, that would be unfortunate because I could get you Death's location in the time that it would take you to reload the gun." And Bobby's like, "What, you're just going to chat some demons up?" Crowley's like, "Oh, good God, no. I can't show my face in public anymore, but I have another way. There's this little spell with 100% guarantee of working, except it's, quote, embarrassing. He needs a little something to get the magic going. He needs Bobby's soul." And Bobby's like, "Well, here's my counteroffer." And he shoots him in the chest with the shotgun, full of rock salt. Crowley recoils and complains of it stinging, and then appears behind Bobby, leaning against his desk, looking relatively fine again, and saying, "Oh, I'll give your soul right back." Bobby's like, "Do you think I'm an idiot?" And Crowley's like, "No, I think you're right to be suspicious, but we're allies here." Crowley lays it on the line. He's like, "I need the devil back in his cage. My ass depends on it. He knows he's a goner to be tortured for eternity if the devil wins. It's in Crowley's best interest to get the devil locked up. He just needs Bobby to make the deal, sell his soul, to get the magic going that will power him to be able to fulfill Bobby's deal." Crowley even promises again, "Temporary loan, I'll give it right back." And since we know that this drags on until 4 episodes into season 6, and Bobby has to get really creative to get his soul back, and then Crowley kind of holds a grudge about it right the way through season 8, when we find out that he had brought Bobby down to hell wrongfully, probably because of feeling grumpy that he lost his soul in this deal. Bobby's suspicious, but he goes along with it. And that's where the episode ends, with Bobby contemplating the option and looking like he's going to say yes. And we'll know in the very first minutes of the next episode that he does indeed work this deal with Crowley. And Crowley is able to get them Death's location. But first, they have to get Pestilence. And that's just so gross. But next episode, we get Cass back. And that's so wonderful. They finally will know what happened to Cass. And he's practically human. And, needs painkillers. But there's really nothing too deep going on here except with Sam and the revelations about how badly he'd been manipulated his entire life into this situation. He can't blame Dean. He can't even really blame himself. He was used by the cosmos over and over and over again, poisoned into being this for their own sick, twisted needs. And he wants to be able to use that for good, you know? And it's kind of shocking that with Brady and Crowley both being terrified of being tormented for eternity, Sam is basically signing up for it as he contemplates this plan to say yes to Lucifer and drag him into the cage, knowing that he will be entrapped in that cage with Lucifer for eternity, to be tormented personally and directly forever. And it's just horrible to even think about. And I don't know how anyone could have thought that was a good ending to the show when that was the original plan for the end of the series, that Sam wasn't going to come back at the end of that episode. But we'll talk about that when we get there. For right now, this episode is pretty straightforward, and I'm going to take it for what it is and be glad I'm done with it. Because next week we will be watching Season 5, Episode 21, 2 Minutes to Midnight, where we are getting very close to the wire. We only have 2 more episodes before the end of Season 5 and what could have been the series finale. Very depressing as fuck series finale it would have been. Anyway, we'll talk about that when we get there. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But next week we get my second favorite character introduction of all time, Death. I love his intro. Nobody doesn't like Death. Anyway, until then, you can find me on Tumblr at MittensMorgul or at SPNGeorge. You can find me on Discord at Mittens #4865, or you can email me at MittensMorgul@gmail.com. And I look forward to talking to everybody again real soon. And yes, I know this is another short one, but really, there wasn't that much more to say about it, other than to just talk about how sad this all is for Sam and how horrifying it is to find out that his entire lifetime had been just this manipulation. You know, what do you do with that sort of information? Oh, commit yourself to suffer in hell with the devil forever because of it. Like, what? That is like the worst possible ending for the series ever. And it kind of makes sense why Dean fights so hard to try and protect Sam, to give him the life where he can just grow old and happy and just be. Because, God, after all this, Sam thought that he deserved that, or, you know, that's all he was good for at this point, was sacrificing himself to suffer for eternity, to save everybody else. How horrifying. No eternal reward for Sam? No. No. Darn it. I'm with Dean on this one. No. Anyway, I think part of it is just I'm still sick. Well, I'm sick again. Not the same thing, at least. I know what this is. This is just my immune system going, oh, right. Oh, you've been sick? Oh, we're going to trigger this old illness that has been creeping on you since you were a teenager and just make it all inflamed and bad again. So suffer. So I'm just in a lot of pain and wish I didn't have skin. But other than that, yeah, everything's great here. Have a good one, everyone.